The details behind the Diddy indictment, Taylor Swift's stalkers, Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Only show live right now from Radio Row here in 96.5 The Fan, live in New Orleans. Nylons. Oysters are down. Bob's had a cup of gumbo. That's down. The checklists are going little by little. Mac and I actually slept in different beds last night. We thought about it, but we decided to part ways at the end of the night. Boys, welcome to New Orleans, Kansas City. Welcome to New Orleans. I can tell you this town is ready. It is Monday. You can feel it just walking. You can smell it.
You can definitely smell it. Wait till Friday. then you can really smell the beautiful sights and sound of New Orleans, Louisiana. We haven't even gotten into the French Quarter yet, you know?
No.
And so we'll mosey on down there as the week goes on, and we start to kind of get our sea legs underneath us and do our thing. But, I mean, it's just good to finally be back at the Super Bowl. I mean, for me, it's been since the Miami Super Bowl because they've had the West Coast Super Bowls. And, you know, morning radio doesn't do so well on the West Coast, getting up at 2 a.m. and sitting in a convention center when nobody would be there. So we get the opportunity to come back now because it's on our time. And, you know, just looking around, man, I got the juices flowing. Like, I'm ready for game day. We're 6 days away, and it's going to be a long, long time, and we got to pace ourselves and all of that. But, you know, we're finally back. And just talking to some of the other gas bags that we've run into already on Radio Row, it's like people just look at us and they're like, another year you're here, another year you get the opportunity to do this. And I was just talking to our friend Sean from our sister station in Houston. He's like, just make sure everybody knows to enjoy this. And I'm like, yeah, that's kind of what we've been pushing for the last couple of years now with this thing and with this team and with the way that things are going right now. Enjoy this ride, because here we are yet again. We're set up, guys, to go to our third consecutive Super Bowl and win three in a row. I mean, nothing is better than what we have going on right now here in Kansas City.
Yeah, our boss told us we have the okay to wear Kansas City stuff, so I packed accordingly.
Yeah.
So should be a lot of that happening as well. Plus, when we were walking in, the guys that were checking our bags, they were, you know, talking to us in, like, that New Orleans accent. It was getting a little tough for me to pick up for the first, like, second. I was like, it's 5 o'clock in the morning as well.
Yep.
And he's like, Chiefs, huh? I'm like, yeah. He's like, I like Saquon. I was like, yeah, I bet.
I bet you do.
He's like, holy cow. And then out of nowhere, you know, the guy's sitting there talking to me, and he's like, but kind of want to see history.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think there's a lot of that. I mean, it's interesting because we haven't really talked to a lot of the local, like, town people. But, you know, we went and got oysters last night. There were some ladies that were on there, like, you know, I don't know, girls trip.
Yep.
And then the waitress came over, and she's like, hey, like, Lane Johnson, these guys are over here. Like, the whole, like, barrier is broken down, I think, at least for the first couple of days. Because, you know, athletes are here. You see videos of Chiefs players going out on the streets of New Orleans. You see, you know, you know that the Eagles offensive line is in the same room as just average people eating lunch or eating dinner on their time off. But this is a very, very interesting city to host. I mean, you wouldn't think that, like, a Super Bowl would be here. And then last night we're, you know, rooftop, able to, like, kind of put our show together. We kind of look over, like, there's the Superdome, and then there's where the Pelicans play, and you look down, there's the Washington Bridge, and you're kind of like, okay, we're here. Like, this is it. Like, we got four or five more days, and then it's, you know, it's game day. It's like, I kind of want to wait for the game a little bit.
Yeah.
Now, I know not everybody's here, but and that's what we're here to do, is to give you the best kind of vision of what we have. But, like, when they tell you that, like, the Super Bowl is an event, there is no lie in any of that. I mean, it is – tonight's the big media night, right?
Yep.
Tonight's our hard-working day. They'll be introduced. They'll be booed. They'll be hated. It'll be interesting to see. But, man, it is kind of crazy to think that they're doing this for not just the third time, not just the fourth and fifth in 6 years, but for a third consecutive time.
Yep.
Like, that to me is just nuts to, like, imagine doing this every year the same way. And it's just like, I could see why one team would have an advantage over another one that's obviously been here. Like, you know what it is. It is a week. Like, there were videos of the Chiefs going to the airport and touching down. So, like, another year, another Super Bowl, another event, another historical week. So
yeah, it is.
Sign me up.
But the thing is, too, the Eagles should be prepared for this as well. I mean, this is their second one in 3 years, so it's not like the Chiefs can come in here and say, all right, we've got all the experience, we know how to do this and all this kind of stuff. Philly's like, yeah, we were just here as well 2 years ago, so we have the experience. Our quarterback has the experience. Our head coach has the experience. Same goes, obviously, you know, with the Chiefs, and there's a lot of people on the Eagles that played in that first Super Bowl matchup between these two teams, and a lot of Chiefs that have been here for, you know, the last, you know, couple of Super Bowls anyway. I think there's only been seven, as we talked about last week, that have been here for this entire ride, you know, of Super Bowl since this Patrick Mahomes era started. But they do. They have the experience. They're ready to go. And this is the best host city, I think, for the Super Bowl. It's my favorite host city for the Super Bowl. Everything is close. Everything is compact. And the security is already here. I mean, we walked out of dinner last night, and just so people know, we went to a place called Drago's. They're famous for their, you know, their grilled oysters, and the three women sitting next to us, very attractive ladies. They were ready to roll and have some
Whoa!
Fun last night.
Whoa, we've been here for seven minutes.
Why am I going to lie about that?
Like, your wife will be here soon.
I've already told her. I said, I'm hitting on three women, and Mac and Dusty are watching the NBA. And she's like, it's unbelievable. She goes, I'm sitting here talking to these women, and Mac's like, the Celtics are only down one. I'm like.
And I'm on the other side going, dude, you can lie bet in New Orleans.
Yeah, and Dusty's like, here's the 47-year-old.
And then Bob goes,
how you ladies doing?
Yeah. Bob's like, you can also live chat, too. Kids in their phones.
I know. So we're sitting there having the conversation. So we're at the Eagles team hotel last night, right? That's where this restaurant was. And so we went out, a couple of Eagles hanging out. The Chiefs are staying further down, you know, in towards the quarter at the Marriott. I mean, it's all public information. But we walk out of that hotel, and there's two, like, armed guys with, you know, military guys with rifles. And Dusty's like, whoa, security. I'm like, you don't know the half of what we're going to start to see. This is Monday. The streets are already barricaded. The armed guards are out there. I was reading this morning, this is Homeland Security Level 2. It's the second highest level security of Homeland Security that they've ever had. And so this is lockdown because of what happened on, you know, January 1st here with the incident down on Bourbon Street. And so they're not allowing a lot of that to take place. A lot of the French Quarter is already blocked off. You can't even drive down there. There's bag checks getting into the French Quarter and all that kind of stuff. So it's going to be a wild time. If you're coming down here, just be prepared, man. Just be prepared to say, hey, here's what's going to happen. There's going to be a lot of security. There may be, you know, a little bit of a pain in the neck to you to get to where you want to go. But this is what they need to do to keep this safe, because there's a lot going on, obviously, as we know, since that January 1st thing. And the NFL is not about to allow something to happen like that during their marquee event, because this is the convention for the NFL. This is their year right here. And they're not about. So everything is taken care of. There's going to be security all over the city. You feel safe in the city. And, you know, I'm just ready to go and get this week started. And as we start to ramp up and get closer and closer to Friday, more and more will start to happen. But, I mean, here we are again, man. Third year in a row to go and win a championship. It just doesn't get better than this, Dusty.
No, and then to kind of paint the scene, because we are broadcasting live from Radio Row in New Orleans, thanks to our friends at Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of your Kansas City Chiefs. Bud Light, easy to drink, easy to enjoy. Drink responsibly. To kind of let people know, like, what's around us, I think the FanDuel booth is right behind us. So there's a chance, folks. Yeah, there's a chance. Miss Adams, Kay herself, could be right literally within 15, like, I don't know, steps from the Dustman.
Mm-hmm.
To our left is the PFT Live. So Chris Sims is to our left. NBC Sports next to that. Fox is next to that. But we have pretty much center stage here. Like, we're looking middle center everywhere. Looking forward is us. McAfee's just to the left of us as well. But big news is that Kay Adams could be right behind us. So I'm going to try to keep it cool. We'll see what happens. But no,
I thought the news was the wings that were going to come out. Like, there's supposed to be free wings all week.
And it's sponsored by Bounty. So
Bounty,
like,
towel, man.
Why not combine it? Here's wings, here's towels.
That's right.
But no, this is crazy. They have they have flags up here of every single Super Bowl championship, which is crazy. I would assume that's Super Bowl, I don't know, the newest one?
That's the newest one.
That's the newest one, right?
That's
there.
It.
It's the biggest. Yeah, yeah. Because there's
awesome.
Super Bowl I right here, the World Championship, and then you start to look down and see, and there's Super Bowl IV, the one the Chiefs won down here in, you know, New Orleans. And so they won their first Super Bowl here in New Orleans. It would be kind of fitting to go back and win their third consecutive Super Bowl, obviously, here, you know, in New Orleans, and kind of move this, you know, this story forward. I mean, there's so many great storylines to the Super Bowl, too. And one of the things that you kind of brought up right at the beginning was the security guard talking about Saquon Barkley. I think he's the guy that changes the dynamic and the perception of this entire Super Bowl for everybody on a national audience. And I think Saquon Barkley is the big reason why you're seeing the sentiment rooting for the Philadelphia Eagles. Yes, there is Chiefs fatigue. We know that.
Right.
Everybody knows that, except in Kansas City, there is Chiefs fatigue. And so I think people are looking for a new team to root for, but it's not exactly like Philadelphia is this lovable, warm group of people that everybody wants to put their arms around and hug and love up. But Saquon Barkley is one of those guys. And, you know, I was talking to my sister in our family chat over at the weekend. She lives in Philadelphia, and she loves Saquon Barkley now and what he's doing there. And everybody seemingly around the country is, like, rooting for Saquon Barkley like everybody was rooting for Patrick Mahomes in that first Super Bowl. Because, you know, Saquon, say what you want, he was rescued from hell and has the opportunity now to play for a championship in Philadelphia. And so he's one of the good guys of the game, one of the guys that I think a lot of people obviously know. But I feel like he's one of those guys that a lot of people are rooting for if you don't have a rooting interest. And I think he's the one that's probably swaying a lot of people to be rooting for the Philadelphia Eagles over the Kansas City Chiefs.
I think he's the protagonist in this film.
Yeah.
I think Mahomes, Kelsey, they're the anti-hero.
Yep.
I guess that makes a lot of sense now with Taylor Swift and everything.
Correct.
By the way, did she not look fabulous last
great
night?
Great last night, yeah.
My goodness, a Travis Kelsey necklace on her thigh. I'm just, you know, having my room. I think there you go. I think it's just a T for her name.
Yeah.
Might have been Travis. I don't know.
No, if it was a Travis necklace, I think it would have been a bigger deal, right? Like,
okay.
I mean, because she had, like, if it had an 87 around it or something like that,
top
that's
story.
Right. Everybody's talking about it. Not that the Grammys weren't the top story last night. I was telling you guys, like, there's nothing going on except pictures of Taylor Swift on my timeline at the Grammys in a red dress, which she was wearing for the Chiefs, as everybody knows, right?
Yeah. Or an album release coming in the future.
Maybe.
Who knows?
Yeah, who knows?
Man, she, I mean, spectacular.
Yeah.
And now everybody's going to wear a chain around their thigh.
That's right. You've already got one. Yeah.
I've already put it in the, was going to put it in the cart on Amazon, just had, go ahead and order that right away.
Right.
No, but it is interesting. You know, we'll keep you updated with everything that we go through. You can always check out videos on our Instagram page on the 96.5 The Fan. You can go to Twitter. We'll be up and streaming here in just a little bit. With that said, big game coverage on 96.5 The Fan is brought to you by Community America Credit Union, member-owned, open to all, invested in you. Join today at communityamerica.com. Don't tell me when it's over. Just don't remind me that good things have to come to an end. We'll explain that on the other side here at 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. Diving right back into it on a Monday, live from Radio Row in Los Angeles.
In New Orleans. I don't know why I thought Los Angeles.
Where the hell are we?
I saw it. Yeah, no, we're not there yet.
Stay focused, Dusty.
Probably Tuesday night is when Bourbon Street will officially get hit up. Extremely excited for that as well. I will say this. It's funny, we were talking to these guys next to us from Houston during the break, and they were like, so what do you guys do when it comes to the conspiracy theories or the refs want the Chiefs to win,
right?
Or which we talked last night, like the Chiefs continuing to win is not good for the NFL. Like, people will then be like, all right, like, wake me up when September ends.
Right.
Like, I don't want to watch this again. Like, we were asking ourselves last night, but it's funny that they asked us that. Like, how do you guys, you know, lean into this? You know, like, Taylor didn't win a Grammy last night. Does that mean anything for the NFL? Like, she wore red. She had a chain around her thigh.
Right.
But you take the seriousness in it. Bob Fesco, Dusty Leggett, 96.5 The Fan, from Fesco and Dusty live in New Orleans. It is interesting. Like, you know, we talk about that dynasty, and you talk about, like, what's on the line. Because, you know, Bob, last year the big storyline was, can they become a dynasty, right? Can you win three titles? Because if you have three, you're Pittsburgh, you're San Fran, you're New England, you're Dallas. You're an NFL dynasty, and they won it. And then, obviously, the audio of Patrick Mahomes on the stage saying to Chris Jones, like, no, let's go get one more. It's never been done before. Let's go get the three-peat. Let's get the three-peat. As if confetti falling on your shoulders while you're holding your young child with your coach holding the Lombardi trophy isn't like, hey, you just did it.
Right.
No, not yet. When we do it, will be when we win three in a row, 4 in 6 years. You know, when does this stop? Like, when do you think is a point where you're like,
that dynasty, because you can build more than one dynasty.
Well, you can. I mean, right? But I think if you build different dynasties, they have to come in different generations. And I do think the Patriots really did have probably two dynasties in their 20-year run. I mean, you could even say three.
There was early Tom,
early, then
Tom.
The 10 where they didn't, and then there was the tail end where they won a couple of more. And so maybe there were kind of three dynasties inside that dynastic run. But, you know, to say that, you know, people are getting tired of the Chiefs and it wouldn't be good for the NFL like we were talking about last night, you're right. Even though to me it's still great, it's still the National Football League, perception changes a lot for people, right? What's the perception about baseball? You can't win unless you're the Dodgers or the Yankees, right? No matter how much you preach to people, yes, you can, because the Royals made the postseason this year, doing it completely different than what, you know, the Yankees and Dodgers have done, and the Royals have been to more World Series recently than the Yankees have and all that kind of stuff. You can tell people facts to their blue in the face, they're always going to believe that baseball isn't fair and that nobody can win in Major League Baseball, when in fact there is more parity in baseball than in the NFL. We've never been saddled with this, though, in the NFL, where we're about to see a team win three straight Super Bowls. And I can see how people can look at that around the rest of the country and say to themselves, okay, the NFL is getting to the point like it's Major League Baseball right now, where it's the Chiefs and everybody else and nobody else has a chance. So, yeah, to sit here and say, like, it's good for the league to have the Chiefs continue to win, I think it's good this year to have the Chiefs continue to win, to set history, to give them that opportunity to do that. But you're right. I think eventually it's going to get to the point where nationally people are like, all right, what's going on here now, man? Baseball has more of an opportunity for teams to win than in the NFL because the Chiefs are dominating this thing. So, no, the league never wants to have the same champion all the time. They don't want that. They want it to be somebody different every single year. And it just so happens that Kansas City has found the way to not let it be somebody different every single year.
And I wouldn't even say it has to be every single year the NFL wants somebody new, but, like, you know, there's a reason why three-peats, you know, don't happen very often, because it's rare. There's a reason why it's never happened before. There's a reason why you're hearing people say different, you know, takes about the Kansas City Chiefs, or whether there's some sort of, like, well, maybe they do just want to have the first three-peat. It's like, when you get into uncharted territory, you get uncharted takes. Like, you get people that have never seen this before, or people that are, you're either like, okay, well, let's either witness history and see the game play out, or you take the, you know, the villain role, and you're like, well, they shouldn't have won against Buffalo. They gave them they let them have fourth down and let them stop it. It's like, okay, like, whatever. You know, the Houston Texans game, like, yeah, they let the young and up and coming team get close, but they let the Chiefs knock them down a peg. And it's like, no, these are hard to a come by, because you don't see these type of things before. You don't see, like, a mashup of Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. Bill Belichick and Tom Brady were great because they were so good at the opposite of what each other did, like opposites attract.
Yeah, right.
Bill was a defensive genius. Tom Brady was a guy that was a conductor. Like, he was able to orchestrate his band. Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes are both, I don't think this is, like, degrading, but they're both offensive and football nerds.
Yeah,
like,
they are, yeah.
When they go home after playing a game all day, they're like, well, what if we move this guy over here? I'm going to send this to Andy.
Right.
Where, like, you and I might be like, well, we were talking about this earlier today. Did you see this article during this? It's like that sort of, like, same page sort of stuff. And it's like, I think that's what makes it rarefied air, not to take another Jordan line out of it to compare the two. But you have two guys that genuinely, like, I don't know, it's just tough. It's like they both love the game the same amount, at the same amount of time, even though they are generations away from each other. But it's like, you know, you watch Andy Reid's career. Donovan McNabb, did he love football as much as Patrick Mahomes? I don't know the answer.
I don't know that anybody loved football as much as Patrick Mahomes.
And Andy Reid found that guy.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you
like Andy Reid found the guy that he was looking for. Who loves this as much as I do, right?
That guy
right there.
Not only that, but he's got, you know, a wickedly talented arm.
Yep.
He's got a, you know, great mindset. And, oh, by the way, his dad used to play professional sports. So the part of, like, being in the locker room, I don't have to worry about that either. So I would say, when we asked this question earlier, like, when does this dynasty ever end? I think it's when Andy's gone. And then it's like, okay, Mahomes is still part of it. And then it's like kind of like Mahomes' story.
Right.
Like, we get lost in the greatness that is this team, which is Mahomes and the numbers and the trophies and all that.
But, like, it all goes back to Andy.
It really does. I mean, Andy Reid is the glue that holds this whole thing together.
Yeah.
And, again, you know, not to continue to talk about, you know, our early conversations with people, but, you know, some of the conversations we're already having is, like, they're just better than everybody else. Like, they don't make the mistakes. The penalty thing that continues to come up and people talk about it. Good teams don't commit penalties. Good teams don't make mistakes. Good teams don't shoot themselves in the foot. And the Kansas City Chiefs are not a good team. They're a great team in all of this. And they don't shoot themselves in the foot. So there's no opportunity for the referees to call penalties against them because they don't give them that opportunity. And so that's another thing that we have to look at as well with this team. They're so much better at everything than you that they don't even commit penalties, you know, in games for the referees to call them. And so this dynasty, I think it's going to be interesting to see because eventually Andy Reid will walk away before Patrick Mahomes. I mean, I just have to feel that's
math
the case, right?
Up.
Math, right? Yeah. Like, you know, Andy's, you know, got 4 years left after this one.
What's
on that
65?
Contract. He's 65, 66
okay.
years old. Puts you into your 70. Hey, Pete Carroll, 72, 73 years old, right? Bill Belichick, 72 years
yeah.
old, coaching in college now. So age isn't like it used to be back in the day.
Right.
But you got to think Andy, I mean, would walk away. I mean, I don't see Andy. I mean, maybe I do standing on the sidelines till he's 80. You know, I don't see that. But you wonder, like, what that transition eventually is going to be.
Right.
Is Matt Nagy going to pick the ball up and run with it and continue that success with Patrick Mahomes? There's no reason to indicate that it won't be unless, and I don't think this will happen, but when Jimmy Johnson walked away from Dallas and then Barry Switzer took over right in the middle of that dynasty, and we've seen what happened to the Dallas Cowboys ever since then. They basically have been an irrelevant slop mess since Jimmy Johnson left the Dallas Cowboys. I don't anticipate to be that the case at all in Kansas City because I do think Patrick Mahomes is better than Troy Aikman. I think the roster is
hot
better.
Take.
I no, but you, but like where I'm going with that is I, yeah. and the word I wanted to use was quite frankly more mature than Troy Aikman, right?
Oh.
I think Patrick Mahomes is that guy that you look at that once Andy Reid leaves and Matt Nagy takes over, everybody knows that Patrick is still in charge, right? Like, Patrick is still the guy with this organization. And I think when Dallas had their thing took over, Barry Switzer came in, nobody listened to that guy. They run amok, and then the whole thing went, you know, spiraled downward. And so I just don't see that happening. So when does this dynasty stop? I think this dynasty stops when Patrick Mahomes says, see you later, I've had enough, and I'm going to go do something else with my life, and he retires and he ends up on Fox the next year, or whatever the case may be. I think Patrick Mahomes is that good. And by the time Andy Reid steps away, Patrick Mahomes will have absorbed all of that Andy Reid knowledge and basically be a clone of Andy Reid. And that's going to help keep this thing moving forward because I just don't see Patrick stopping regardless of who his coach is.
Yeah, I think that they're just because the two are so prolific and so just well known. Like, I think even if you walked around this room, and I think if you said, what are the three names you'll hear the most this weekend, it would be Saquon, Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid.
No doubt.
Those are the three
yeah.
names. And I think with their powerful stature of their name, like, once one is no longer there, because, like, I'm telling you, man, if we're doing this in, let's say, 5 years from now, and hopefully we are, there'll be a conversation, is this finally Reed's last year? And there will be word that will be known, and there will be some sort of guy that is there, whether it's Nagy, which I don't think he'll be here that long, but it'll be somebody, and it'll be the guy that Andy's coaching up, and you'll have his swan song. And since they are Mahomes and Andy Reid, since they have made themselves so powerful under his one roof, I think when one leaves, you will have the start of like, okay, this was, you know, kind of, to kind of take reference to the Bible, like there's like, BC and AC, right?
Yeah.
Like there's like the before and after. So there's going to be like a before and or with Andy and after Andy
yeah.
and Patrick Mahomes' career.
No doubt.
And
yeah.
those will be two different dynasties under 15. This one that we're currently living in is fantastic, and it is basically because of Andy Reid. So once it's gone, I think that ends.
I wonder if there'll be that conversation, though. Was it Andy Reid or Patrick Mahomes? And I think we already know the answer to that question. Patrick Mahomes needed Andy Reid as much as Andy Reid needed Patrick Mahomes. And
yeah.
That's why I don't know that you can even have that debate that they're having, whether it's Belichick or Brady, because we saw Andy Reid without Patrick Mahomes, a very, 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 very good coach. Patrick Mahomes created a great coach out of Andy Reid. Patrick Mahomes, a quarterback that if he would have gone anywhere else in the NFL, we're not sitting here talking about Patrick Mahomes being this good, because if he goes to, like, I always use the example of the Giants. If he was drafted by the Giants that year, he'd have been going on his third NFL head coach in a short period of time. Nobody can achieve success with that. It was the perfect setup here for Kansas Kansas City, and Patrick Mahomes benefited Andy Reid as much as Andy Reid has benefited Patrick Mahomes, and then they combine their forces together and have taken this on to new levels. And it's just, you know, to be able to sit back and enjoy this from our couches and watch this every week and be immersed in this and to be ours is just, it's spectacular to watch. So I think when Andy Reid steps away and Matt takes over, I think this Chiefs team will be a very good team, because as long as Patrick Mahomes is here, he's not going to allow this thing to go back to what it was before Andy Reid arrived in Kansas City.
No, one last nugget on that whole topic is when you think at that point, when Andy Reid's gone, Mahomes will have known everything that he's supposed to know with how the offense works, and it'll be the conversation of when Manning was at that point in his career, is like, why do they have an offensive coordinator? We all know 18's
right.
Calling. Like, remember the Peyton thing? It's like, well, he's calling three plays in the huddle, Jim, and when he gets to the line, he reads the defense, and then he calls that play.
Yeah,
it's
right.
Like, so what the hell is that guy doing on the sideline? Looking good,
yeah.
You know. So
yeah.
We are.
Wasn't Adam Gase his offensive coordinator in Denver?
I don't know.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. It's like, is he really calling any plays?
Well, he had those eyes that got him two jobs, I tell you.
Yeah, Duval.
Right. Yeah.
We are live. Look at that smorgasbord. The Max team brought back coffee, donuts.
Look at it all.
Pumpernickel and yogurt. So what'd Matt get for himself?
I don't know, man. I don't know what he got for himself.
Two glazed had my name on it.
Two blazed?
Two glazed.
I was like, it smelled that a little bit. The streets of knowledge. It smelled like Bob Marley lit off fireworks. We are live on Radio Row in New Orleans, brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors. Kansas City is gearing up for their third straight title, and Academy Sports and Outdoors has everything you need to rep your team during their historic run. It is a Monday. I can't believe it doesn't feel like a Monday. Every day feels like Friday at this point. But it is overreaction time here on Fesco on Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. We're going to end with some round ball because we're going to lead into that at 6:45. So the text line that keeps asking, Luka talk, please, Luka talk. It is coming because it got Bob to stay up a little bit later last night. Overreaction Monday. I'll give you one. We got to get rid of the Pro Bowl. Just give them a check. And if they want to take that money that they got this the notification there in the Pro Bowl, take that check notification. Unless they're going to bring it back to Hawaii, play a game that actually makes sense. It's pathetic. It's terrible. I was watching at the airport before we were flying out, and I didn't even know what was going on.
Oh, I was going to ask you, is that coming up, the Pro Bowl?
It's over.
It's over.
Yeah.
We missed that. Son of a gun. Sorry, I did.
So, and then they snuck in on like a Monday night the skills test. I don't know what we're doing with this game. It's not fun. It's not interesting. At least in Home Run Derby, you can watch the guys hit bombs, and it's kind of fun. They actually play the game itself with the normal rules. There's no whatever around it. And then, you know, you watch the product, even like the clips on Twitter, and you're like, none of this is interesting. None of this is great. They play it in Orlando. It's not even sunny.
Mm-hmm.
Fix the field in Hawaii or take them somewhere exotic and play it and make it worth a darn. But until then, it's got to go.
I don't need sports in my life that much to ever consider turning that thing on.
Give
like,
a check.
Like, I mean, it's just something that I will not sit back and watch because it's gotten to the point of craziness. And really, the baseball All-Star game is the only one that I really enjoy. The NBA players have no interest in being there. I mean, how bad is the NBA? They're trying to get Caitlin Clark to be the showcase of their All-Star weekend. Like, that's pretty pathetic if you're the NBA that you're trying to lean in, you know, to Caitlin Clark to try to make your All-Star game better because you realize she drives the needle for everybody. Like, she's the Patrick Mahomes. Like, if you're talking about the most popular athletes in America right now, it's Patrick Mahomes and Caitlin Clark. I mean, there's nobody else. And so the NBA is trying to use Caitlin Clark to get people to pay attention to their All-Star game. And people are like, I'm pretty good. I don't even need to watch that. Like, baseball's really the only one where you could actually sit down and watch and say it's sort of a semblance of a game, right? It's kind of fun to watch the baseball All-Star game. And so,
sure.
I mean, other than that, all these other ones, they keep trying, but nobody's paying attention. Nobody's really that interested in what they're doing out there. And until they stop generating money, they're going to continue to have them, you know?
I don't find it interesting. Like, even, you know, Mac and I were, like, talking about it. Like, we were standing there and just having a brew before the plane takes off, and it was just like, oh, God, what are we doing? Didn't know anybody. They were like, you know, it's not good. It's
well,
not
I mean, when Chet Huntley's playing quarterback in the Pro Bowl,
well,
I mean,
that's like, what drove Mack insane. It was Drake May, Russell Wilson, and Joe Burrow represented the AFC.
What? Like, on no level are any of those guys Pro Bowlers.
Fantastic.
I mean, you look at that like that. That's what we're left with. Who did you say again?
It was Russell Wilson, Drake May, and Joe Burrow.
Yeah,
means Andy Dalton.
Yeah, I mean, this is just. I mean, those three guys. Great.
Another overreaction is I think Josh Allen may get more rules changed for the NFL than maybe Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes combined.
Yes.
Mahomes has zero rules changed. Tom Brady has, I think, two. I think he's the tuck rule. And they can't hit below. You can't hit while you're on the ground.
That's right. You can't hit the knees.
Uh-huh. Yep. Well, while on the ground.
Yeah.
And then now Josh Allen got overtime changed, and boys, oh boys, oh boys, did your guy call it. Lasers in the future for first down markers because Josh Allen didn't get a first down.
Didn't get a first down on that play, but he didn't get a first down because he was still short of the line. I mean, here we sit a week later, 8 days later.
I want marks with freaking laser beams attached to their heads.
I mean, like, what are we going to do next? Because they said this over the weekend.
I don't know. That's two for Buffalo.
I mean, I quote tweeted, I go, what's next when Buffalo loses again next year to the Kansas City Chiefs? Like, what's going to be the next rule change that they want to see happen? The Chiefs kicked out of the league.
No matter what, Josh Allen gets the ball back.
Yeah.
No matter what.
The game's over. There's no time left. He's down 10. He still gets a chance. No, they're going to petition to have the Chiefs kicked out of the league. I mean, that has to be the next thing.
He starts with a 10-0 lead.
That Buffalo, yeah. Or you start up 10-0 or something like that.
You get to spot me 7, Uncle Frank. I'm not doing this again. You always win.
All right, so what's the Chiefs' record this year going forward? Let's say going forward. If they're down automatically 10-0 because Buffalo whines all the time, so every team starts with a 10-0 lead over the Chiefs. I bet you
they played 10 games.
I bet you over the course of a season they still have 12 or 13 wins,
yep.
Even if they're down 10 points to start the game. They have to fight back after a 10-0 hole. Like, go for it, Buffalo.
Well, there's some people that said they hope that the Super Bowl they're down by 10 at some point.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Obviously not like the end of the game, but like, like I hope they're down by 10 in like the second quarter. I'm like, I'm not mad at that take. Like,
yeah,
live bet. Yeah, that's what gets you.
Yeah, I mean, no, seriously, it used to be like back in the day, you bet KU live if they were down at Allen Fieldhouse, slam the money on
them
to win. This year, not so much, I don't think. But I think they blew a 21-point lead over the weekend and lost by like 10 or something.
Largest blown lead in school history.
I mean, insane. So I don't know that play works anymore. But, yeah, if the Chiefs are down 10, you got live betting going on, boom, hit the Chiefs to win that game because that's what they do. I'd rather have them not down 10. I'd like to see them blow Philadelphia out and end this game at, like, you know, the third quarter and do that kind of stuff would be outstanding. But the MO is they fall down early, they fight back, they make it a game, and it becomes an all-time classic. Like, every game they've been in, other than the Super Bowl they lost to Tampa Bay, is kind of an all-time classic. I mean, you start to think about all these games, and, oh, my God, they all came down to overtime. They were down in this one. They had to come back in that one. They had to do this and this one. Like, every Super Bowl that they've been in has been a great game. And that's the other thing, too. Like, there were years where the Super Bowl was not a good event. It was not great. And now that the Chiefs are in it, my gosh, they're great. Games. We're seeing some of the best football games that we've seen all year long in these Super Bowl games with the Chiefs. That's just what they do. And that's another reason why people continue to come back and continue to be excited about this team because they entertain you every single time they take the field.
I don't know if you guys noticed this or not, but another overreaction on a Monday. Nerd alert. I think the Royal Rumble is one of the best sport entertaining things there is when it comes to bits.
Did The Rock show up?
Oh, yeah.
Because I had some friends out there in Indy. Vinny was there in Indy, and our friend Alex from ESPN went to Indy and were there at the game, at the event together. And Alex, he calls me, he goes, I think The Rock is supposed to come out for this thing. They do an amazing job of having that kind of star power and, you know, putting on a show, basically.
WrestleMania is like their main, that's their Super Bowl. But, like, the Royal Rumble's kind of interesting. Like, it's 30 men versus 30 men, and it's like a ticking clock, so you're always at the edge of your seat. They have surprises. They have people that you knew were going to show up. They have theories that get put into the whole thing. It's a very entertaining bit. I know there's not a lot of people out there that want to hear about it, but the way they sell it, the way they execute it, and the way that it happens, it's now they have, like, a men's Royal Rumble and a women's Royal Rumble. It's very entertaining. The nonstop action. That's every sport has their bit. We're living in the one right now for football. The Super Bowl is it. Royal Rumble is one of many for the WWE.
But they do a good job of making it an entertainment event as well. And I think more and more sports is headed that direction, right? Like, the NFL is more than just the game. It's about everything else that goes on around it. It's the Taylor Swift. It's the halftime show. It's the commercials. Oh. It's an event. It's a pop culture. Like, not just the Super Bowl. The NFL in and of itself is a pop culture event. I think after last season with baseball and more stars starting to emerge, hopefully they're headed that way. The NBA is there with the storylines and everything that they've got going on right now. Like, sports is realizing we have to be more than just the games to keep people interested in it.
A trade over the weekend that didn't make sense. It's not an overreaction. It is worth a reaction. You tell yourself, how are you on Radio Row talking about the Super Bowl, but yet the NBA
by God, the NBA really knows how to win when it comes to the trades. I tell you what, Luka Doncic to the Los Angeles Lakers is going to get me to buy a 77 Lakers jersey, and Mac's going to puke in his hat.
Ugh.
I'm Dusty Likens. That's Bob Fesco and Mac Morey. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. Yahtzee, we're back. Live from Radio Row, we are broadcasting live from Radio Row in New Orleans, thanks to our friends at Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of your Kansas City Chiefs. Bud Light, easy to drink, easy to enjoy. Please drink responsibly. You can also, later on today, you can watch the show on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Twitch, presented by our partners at Technology Group Solutions, the official IT provider of also your Kansas City Chiefs. I'll tell you what, man, a lot of people have been down on the NBA all year. A bomb overnight on Saturday evening where a lot of people maybe woke up. The reports I saw, of course, the trade we were alluding to, Luka Doncic gets traded from the Dallas Mavericks to the Los Angeles Lakers for one Anthony Davis, or as some of you like to recall him as the Brow.
Mm-hmm.
National title winner at Kentucky, bubble winner with LeBron in L.A., supposedly best friends with LeBron. They do a lot of the same endorsement stuff together. According to reports, Sham is the guy that I will go to for all of this. When I was watching his live report on ESPN on Sunday morning, he was the one that was like, look, I had to make sure my phone wasn't scammed. I had to make sure, like, I had people reaching out to me saying, hey, is this real? Are you, or did you get hacked?
He literally had to tweet out, he did not get hacked. That's how crazy this trade was.
This trade was wild. This is absurd. It didn't make sense. And you know what? Good for the NBA. Because they got people talking during the biggest week in the world of sports for one sport in all of sport, that is the Super Bowl week.
They did something that Jerry Jones couldn't accomplish, and that's get people talking about something else other
than. See, if
than,
he'd have hired Deion, we'd have a different idea.
There's no question. If they would have hired Deion, it'd be the talk of Super Bowl week down here. And I'm really surprised that Dallas still didn't hire Deion, but Jerry Jones is a puppeteer back there, so he got Brian Schottenheimer. Congratulations, Brian. This trade in the NBA created a downward effect of idiocy on Twitter from Adam Schefter, of course, which, by the way, he's become the new heel of the NFL, right?
And, I mean, just be the heel of sports.
I mean, my God, I mean, this is like trading Lamar Jackson for – no, it's not. It has nothing to do with that. You traded a guy in his prime at 25 in Luka for a guy who's 31 in AD, and you start to think about, okay, why was this trade made? And – I look at sports differently than everybody else, I think, as you guys know right now. You're like, ooh, look at the X's and O's and all this. I go, no, I'm looking at the dollar signs and all of this, because the first comment that the owner of the Lakers said is, we added a global superstar. And I went, oh, well, that's why you added him, because now you have the opportunity to grow your brand on an international level and cash in. You're going to sell all of those jerseys. You know, he's the second most popular player in the NBA, obviously. And so now the Laker brand is going to be sold all over the world with Luka jerseys. Everybody's going to want that kind of stuff. It's going to raise the brand of the Lakers. And that's what this is all about now, as we start to continue to move forward in life. It's not about what takes place in the United States anymore. It's how these teams become these global brands. And, you know, just look at the Chiefs over the last couple of years with the way that they have become a global brand with Patrick Mahomes and Taylor Swift, and how big their pot has grown in money. I think they've, 30% increase in the value of their team and all this kind of stuff because of this winning, because of Patrick Mahomes and because of Taylor Swift. If you're the Lakers, you're like, we have LeBron James. How do we grow? How do we continue to grow our revenues? I don't know. Let's go add the second biggest superstar in the NBA, the biggest superstar maybe in the world when it comes to basketball, and bring him into our brand. And now our brand is being sold all over the world. So that's how I look at it. Like, the Lakers went out and added a guy to increase their value globally, as opposed, it's not a basketball move as much as it is a global basketball move to increase who they are as a franchise. And people are ripping Dallas for this move,
they
right?
Should be.
I don't know what these guys are about. If they were playing in my backyard, I wouldn't care. But I always go back to the Chiefs also traded Tyreek Hill, and everybody said they were the town idiot as well.
Yeah, but
when they traded Tyreek Hill, you don't know what the dynamic was with this guy and why they wanted to jettison him.
That's
there's got to be a backstory to
that's,
this.
And that's fine. There can be a backstory, or there can't be. But they got nothing for the trade other than Anthony Davis.
Well, doesn't Dallas love to play defense?
And one first-round pick.
Right, like Dallas loves defense, right? Their general manager even said, he goes, this guy fits into our scheme. He plays defense and all this kind of stuff.
He's injury-prone.
He gets hurt
for 30 games a year. They play 82.
He is, but
it's
like, what
dumbest thing that I've seen a franchise do in a very, very long time. And the NFL equivalent of the trade would be like sending Josh Allen to the Rams for Matthew Stafford and like a second round pick. Like, yes, Matthew Stafford has probably another 2 or 3 years in the NFL. Are those years elite? Highly unlikely. Maybe one will be decent enough, or if he stays in the Rams organization, they build around him and give him a little bit more talent, which he's already got an amassed amount of talent with his roster. But like the fact that Dallas did this with a 25-year-old superstar who took them to the finals last year, and then there's going to be these stories that come out and be like, well, he was a little chubby. Well, he was
if that's what you're leaning on, like,
are you kidding me? That's like literally a story.
Okay, so that's what they're mad about. There's got to be something else to be a little fat.
One of the tabloids today, or one of the tweets today, was here comes a 270-pound guy off the plane, and it was Luka walking down the plane. They're throwing 270 pounds out there,
right?
And I think Mac was saying he's listening to Bill Simmons. What did that guy say?
Brian Russillo said to Bill Simmons, like, he could have been smoking cigarettes walking down the court. You sign him the Supermax deal. I mean, they didn't even open. They didn't even let other teams
know that. I'd actually watch if he was smoking cigs.
Hilarious.
I mean, honestly, that would get me to an NBA game. Luka's smoking cigs.
And I get it. Like, the perception of Luka is tough because he's a flopper. He complains a lot. He's young.
Who doesn't in the NBA?
He just led his team to the finals.
Yeah, and he's a little more charismatic than others might be or others might like or allow. That's fine. But he can also put 47 in your face at any given night and be the best player on the court, and he's 20 freaking 5 years old, and he just came to L.A. So now let's talk about the Lakers side of it. What's LeBron? Fading out of the NBA.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry, like, our heroes eventually go away to the promised land, wherever they want to go. And LeBron is, you know, getting that point where now the Lakers, they don't have that mishap. Like, they don't have, like, well, the Patriots, right? Like, we see what the Patriots have let us know what is not to do. Well, you got to think about your quarterback we're leaving.
That's a great analogy, too.
When he's gone, you're either going to have somebody that's going to take over, and it's going to sting.
Right.
But if you don't, it's going to sting even worse when you're irrelevant for 5 or 6 years chasing that next guy that you'll never go get again. So with letting LeBron, like, do his thing, and maybe he goes and they have this dynamic run, but when he steps away, then it's like, okay, Luka's 27.
Now you've got your guy. That's a smart play by the Lakers.
Yes.
That's another
and
good
And it's L.A.
That, right. Like, so, like if the Chiefs are smart, you'll see that in about 15 years with a new quarterback where you draft
whoever
one.
It is.
And
people
go, I can't believe they're pushing out Mahomes. But if you want to keep this thing moving in the right direction, you have to change over your roster.
Right.
And that's, you know, back to the Jerry Seinfeld line, we're rooting for laundry. We essentially are. You can't get attached to players in sports. You just can't. You root for your team and who's ever there. And the Chiefs have proven it doesn't matter who's on the team. As long as you have that one main guy in the quarterback, you're going to continue to win. And so that's kind of where I look at it from, too. I'm like, that's a great way to put it, Dusty. They're turning their roster over to stay relevant
without
as well.
You seeing it, because it's such a blow-up of a move. You're like, dude, we got Luka, and then it's like, a year from now, it's like LeBron's retired. It's
thank God we got Luka. That's why
they did it.
That's exactly what. Why did we draft, you know, Nick Bolton? No, because Derek Johnson is leaving. Why did we draft
Watson?
Larry Johnson, because Priest Holmes is leaving.
Why did they draft Mahomes with Alex Smith?
Right.
You knew it was coming.
Yeah, but that's what the good organizations do, and that's how you stay on top. You just can't fall in love with certain players. Now, I'm going to be interested to see what this Dallas thing is. Remember, they have new owners now, too, right? And so
they regret that.
I mean, so, like, if Mark Cuban doesn't own that team anymore, he's no longer in charge of anything down there. It's a company that owns a bunch of casinos that's trying to get a huge casino and new arena built in Dallas. So maybe they're just trying to cut costs as well. Like, there's got to be a backstory that we don't know as to why he was traded. Because you're right, on the surface, it looks terrible. But if you start digging and figure out why, there has to be a reason why. Like, that general manager has to justify to his owner why they're doing that, unless the owner just said, get rid of the salary, we're done here with this.
Well, I mean, Ian, the backstory may be true. He may be a terrible guy, all those things. You still got to let people know you're trading him. Get a bidding war going.
Yeah.
The Lakers were the only team that knew he was being traded.
Mm-hmm.
Sell him.
Yeah.
Like, that's what's crazy to me. Like, I know there's a lot of storylines and blockbusters.
Or maybe
this.
He said, I'm only going to the Lakers, so go.
He didn't,
go
know,
work
where, he didn't know he was being traded.
I mean, there could have been conversations behind the scenes. And
I
stuff
think
of
this
that
is
nature.
One of those things where, like, Jeannie Buss and whoever the owner is for the Dallas Mavericks had a conversation over the phone, and they were like, hey, are you serious about this? Because to me, there were three main storylines: the LA side of it, the Dallas side of it, and then the side of it, which was, Not even LeBron James knew this happened, and I'm sorry, but LeBron James is the face of the NBA. He has been. He's one of the most popular guys in the world. He's one of he is the most popular guy in the sport. And for him to get done with the game, go back to wherever he was at and be like, I'm sorry, what? Like,
I love it. I think it's great. I mean, he doesn't need to be involved in the conversation. He's not management. Like, I don't think players need to be. I don't care who you are.
Do you think Mahomes was in the conversation of the Tyreek Hill trade?
No. I do not.
Okay.
No, I don't. I think once it got close, they probably told him they were going to do it, but I don't think they went to Patrick Mahomes and said, do you think we should trade Tyreek Hill, or how would you feel about trading Tyreek Hill?
I just would think the verbiage would have been like, do you think we'll be okay if Tyreek wasn't on the team?
I think I don't know this to be fact, but I kind of feel like maybe Mahomes said, if you want to trade him, get rid of him, fine. You know, we're going to be just fine without Tyreek Hill. And so, I don't think LeBron deserves a say at all. The last time LeBron had a say, he brought his son to work. I mean, so, like, LeBron has no credibility from building a roster, in my opinion. So you don't involve him, and it's a nice surprise for LeBron.
What if I told you that drafting LeBron James's son would get you Luka Doncic? Would you do it again?
Yeah. Yeah.
Of course.
All right, LeBron, we let you have your choice. You brought your kid to work one day, and he sucks, by the way. Like, as a dad, you got to stop that, man.
Okay.
You got to stop that train. That's embarrassing. As a father, he should be humiliated what he's doing and putting his kid out here to do this stuff. This is nonsense.
He might get there.
It's a joke.
We're broadcasting live from Radio Row in New Orleans, thanks to our friends at Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of your Kansas City Chiefs. Bud Light, easy to drink, easy to enjoy. Drink responsibly. Coming up, the New York Post has some storylines, and we ask you some of your favorite things in New Orleans. We're new here. Bob's not, but Mac and I are here. We're losing our V-card on Bourbon Street. Let us know what we need to do moving forward here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.